We know there are times where you're just too busy to sort through the mass of information that comes your way. So to make it easier for you to stay informed, subscribe to The Morning Agenda, WITF's news podcast, where the only agenda is you.
Funding for The Spark is provided by Capital Blue Cross, focused on creating a healthier future for our communities through innovations like its Capital Blue Cross Connect Health and Wellness Centers, which provide in-person services and inspire healthy living. Learn more at capitalbluecross.com. The Spark is also supported by UPMC. Choose UPMC for your family's health care needs close to home. Visit upmc.com/centralPA for a complete list of services and locations.
Friday night football games in the fall are a Pennsylvania tradition, but more games are being scheduled on Thursday nights or Saturday afternoons because there aren't enough officials. For high school football, 7 officials on the field are what's ideal, but many times 5 are calling the games. There's a shortage of referees or officials in other sports, too, like lacrosse, soccer, and field hockey. What are the factors that are keeping more men and women from becoming officials? Is it the harassment they take from fans and coaches? Is it the pay? Do they have to be in good physical shape? Joining us on The Spark today is Patrick Gephardt, Assistant Executive Director of the Pennsylvania Interscholastic Athletic Association, or PIAA, to talk about the officiating numbers and efforts to recruit more game officials. Patrick Gephardt, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Scott. Thanks for having me. Pleasure to be here.
So give us a sense of how serious this situation is across the state.
Well, I think that there is a serious nature about it, but I think Pennsylvania is in a position that's better than many of our surrounding states. Approximately 18 months ago, we began to chart the number of officials by month just to see our ebb and flow over the year and where we could count on lesser officials or more to be in our pool of officials. And we're actually up right around 1,200 officials from where we were when we started charting that 18 months ago. So our numbers aren't horrible, though the need for officials is pocketed in different areas of the state and for different sports. So I would think the southwestern portion of the state, soccer officials are in dire need there. We actually utilize officials from Ohio and West Virginia to come into the Commonwealth and help us with our PIA contest in that area. I think lacrosse is another area, maybe in central Pennsylvania, that might need more officials. When we adopted it as a championship sport a few years ago, we had a set number of officials that came onto our registry of officials. As the schools began to adopt the sport as one of the sports they wanted in their high school, the number of officials didn't keep up with that. So we lack lacrosse officials for that reason. Field hockey is another official, sport that we need more officials. Well, what we find in field hockey is it's mostly a female-officiated sport. There are males that do it, but it's primarily female, so that they're officials. They would graduate from college or high school, become an official, and then a few years later, they would start a family, and they would take a break from officiating, and we would lose those folks as a field hockey official. Many of them never come back after having children. So those are just a couple of the reasons. I think really the primary reason we're down in certain sports, we could probably attribute that to a couple reasons. I think back in 2015, the state legislature began to require officials to have clearances. They cost approximately $60 for the 3 clearances. They're good for 5 years. Well, when it came to the renewal, we lost officials in 2015 because they didn't want to go through the process. 2020, when they had to renew, many officials felt the same way. I don't want to go through that again. I don't want to pay the $60. Even though it's mandated by the state legislature, I think many officials felt they didn't want to go through that. And as everyone remembers, in 2020, COVID hit, and many officials dropped just because they might have had an underlying illness or just didn't want to go through wearing a mask while they officiate. So we did lose officials for those 2 reasons. You mentioned the poor treatment of officials. Nationally, that has been ranked as the number one reason that officials retire and don't come back after a few years. If we get an official to their 3rd year, we feel pretty strongly that they'll continue to have a great career, but poor treatment by coaches and spectators has been the number one reason across the country, including Pennsylvania, that officials retire.
Has that gotten worse?
I think it's probably holding its own right now. I think it's probably gotten better, if anything. I think a couple things come to mind that draw my attention that behavior has gotten better. I think many of our athletic administrators have decided that enough is enough, and those bad acting fans and bad acting coaches are dealt with more strictly with an athletic administrator. I think our association has brought it to light to our athletic administrators across the state that we need to do something. We can't continue to lose officials. I think a couple other things that we've done has helped us retain officials. We started Officials Appreciation Week. We're in our third year of that. And nationally, that's caught on to where the NFHS, the National Federation of State High School Association, they now promote Officials Appreciation Week the same weeks that we do. So we have a national backing that helps us promote the quality of our officials and helps promote what officials bring to the table regarding the education of our student athletes. I mean, we're an education-based athletic organization, and officials bring a lot to the table to help those student athletes learn different attributes through athletics. We always talk about discipline and teamwork and all those things, and officials play a big part in that when these student athletes learn those attributes.
Official Appreciation Week, Officials mm-hmm. Appreciation Week. How do you appreciate them, and is that enough? Your appreciation, is that enough to overcome some of the harassment they take when they're on the field or on the court?
Sure. We hope it helps. I think that's probably the best way to say it. Our next Officials Appreciation Week will be for spring sport officials. That'll be the third week in April. I think it's the 14th to the 20th. We have a week every season. We have one in the fall for fall sports officials, one in the winter, and now one in the spring coming up. I think that prior to having Officials Appreciation Week, our officials would register, take a test, get their clearances, buy a uniform, become an official, and go work contest in whatever sport it was, and that was it. There was nothing ever done for them. And I think by our schools showing appreciation for those officials when they come on campus, just saying thank you or giving them a bottle of water or whatever it might be, I think that little bit has helped us retain officials. I think that prior to that, I think they felt like they were a necessary evil and they're being treated differently, and I think it goes a long way to keeping our officials.
Are officials graded for their performance?
They are at times. I would say during the regular season that's difficult because of the volume of contests. Just we're in basketball championship season right now, so I'll just tell you each girls team each high school girls team can have 22 games, and each high school boys team can have 22 regular season games. That's 44 contests for one school that would need evaluation, and take that times 1,000 high schools, it's a pretty big number. So I think it's difficult to evaluate officials during the regular season, though some conferences, some leagues do evaluate. We do evaluate when it comes to the state tournament, which just began this past weekend. We don't evaluate every contest, but we evaluate probably 50% of those contests. Many of the officials probably don't need evaluations because they've done a district championship or they've performed well over their careers. I think really the evaluation process is much more valuable to a newly incoming official who's never been in our state tournament because they maybe have never been evaluated. So that's really how evaluations are handled statewide.
You go back to 2015 and you talked about the legislature mm-hmm. Requiring officials to pay the $60. That came as a result of the Sandusky scandal at Penn State, I'm sure.
That's right. And
then 2020 having to renew. Mm-hmm. I mean, there aren't very many, I don't know if you'd say professions or not, because this isn't a full-time job, obviously. You're not making a lot of money. You do have to put up with harassment. You do have to leave your family. You do have to do some traveling. I mean, that $60, is that enough to for an official to say, or a would-be official to say, you know what, I'm just not doing this?
Well, I think that many feel that way. Many feel that the $60 for 5 years is just another cost that's put in front of them that they feel they don't really want to pay and don't feel they need to. I think the school code lists that if you're in direct control of a student, that's why you should have you're required to have clearances.
Right.
Educators.
Which it only makes sense.
It does. I think many officials would say, I'm not really in direct control of a student. I'm just enforcing the rules of the game. We have asked the legislature for some intervention to try to have that removed, especially for the 16 and 17-year-old officials. That's a program we started last year. It's called the Junior Officials Program, where we try to get 16 and 17-year-old students involved in officiating while they're still in school. We've waived their registration fee, but they can only do junior high, 7th, 8th, and 9th grade contests. They can't do JV and above. So they're still required to get clearances. And I think everyone would agree, having a 16 or 17-year-old being required to put $60 out for clearances doesn't seem like a worthwhile use of their money. But we'll see if the legislature will be able to help us with that or not.
Age is another factor in why you – is it accurate to say there's a shortage of officials?
I think overall, yes.
Okay.
I think we're down from where we were probably 2015 and 2020. Even
right.
though we're on the rise, we're down from those numbers.
So is age another factor that a lot of the officials that you have had and have now are getting older and they're leaving?
Sure. That's another factor. Absolutely. You'll see the sports that are less strenuous to officiate, the average age is much higher. I would say the footballs and the basketballs, where there's a lot of movement, the age of officials is much lower than it would be for a track and field, a swimming official, a volleyball official, where there's not a lot of movement involved. They're able to continue to do those sports much longer than a sport like even lacrosse, for that matter, basketball or football. So age is definitely a factor, and we see that. I think nationally the age for an official is probably 50 or 55. If you think about the average, that's a pretty high age in my eyes. That if we could lower that, that would be terrific for the future of officiating.
So is there an age group that you're missing?
Well, I think that, sure. I think those folks that are in college, that's the age group we're missing. And we did have a program where we would go into colleges. We would the colleges would advertise it. We'd bring our interpreters in. We would teach them the rules. We would give them the test. But there doesn't seem to be as much interest in that program as there was maybe 5 or 10 years ago. So that college age group is the one that I think we really don't have a good handle on. And I think that's really why we started the Junior Officials Program. We wanted to get them before they went to college, where we still, the athletic director still could see them every day and talk to them about officiating.
So what is the PIAA doing to try to recruit more officials?
Sure. Thanks. Great question. Well, first, we have entered into an agreement with the National Federation for the national campaign to recruit. The Federation, they go through different marketing companies to email folks that may be potential officials. Those leads then are sent to us. We reach out to those folks immediately and see if we can get them to become an official. Within Pennsylvania, in our high schools, we provided posters. We have talks. We put officials, interpreters in schools of any of the clubs that may be around officiating. Some schools have actually started a curriculum where they're using that to try to train officials, some of their students, to become officials. Our board has provided monies. We've purchased a recruiting tent. You'll see that at our championships. We've monitored it after the military We Want You, the Uncle Sam thing, where we have a tent that's very similar to that, where we hand out all type of information to folks. We'll have it at our basketball championships at the Giant Center coming up the end of March. So we try to recruit in that fashion. Those things, in addition to the Officials Appreciation Week and trying to talk to schools about potentially increasing pay for officials. For some officials, that is an issue. They feel they're underappreciated and deserve more pay. I think we would support anything schools could do to increase the number of officials, but the fan behavior that we talked about earlier is really the major impediment to someone continuing as an official.
How much are officials paid?
Yeah, it's all dependent on sport and what level you're going to do. I would say in the southeastern part of the state, where lacrosse is big, many officials do a junior varsity and a varsity contest down there for maybe $120 or $130 to do a doubleheader. Here in central Pennsylvania for football, I know a 5-person crew or 6-person crew is probably going to get $100 or so. Basketball, a 3-person crew here in the mid-states, probably similar to that, maybe $80 or $90. So it does vary depending on what the official negotiates with the school. That's really the relationship that determines what the official is going to be paid. Officials are considered independent contractors, and for that reason, they can negotiate with the school themselves, or they can have a group of officials, their chapter, negotiate for them on behalf of their pay.
Really? I mean, that sounds like be a bit of a hassle, too, for someone who wants to be an official that has to negotiate with the school.
Sure. Yeah, I think more often than not, they use their chapter to negotiate for that sport for all the schools in the league. You'd have XYZ chapter. They would name someone to be their negotiator. They would go and meet with probably the president of the Athletic Directors Association for that league and hash out the fees for the upcoming season or enter into a long-term contract.
Who pays those salaries? I mean, as far as the school goes, does that come out of the athletic budget? Or just their budget period?
Some have it through their booster clubs. Some have it through the budget period. I'm not really familiar with that end of it.
Okay. We got a couple emails from former officials that had some suggestions. This is one talked about to retain new officials. Support and follow-up. Mentoring. It says hardly done now with a seasoned official. Shadow at play days and pay them something. Training before they start and ongoing. Don't have two new officials together at a game, intimidating as no one to lean on. Don't put them at the school where they went or where they work. Follow conflict of interest, PIAA guidelines. It's not enforced. Open avenues for questions and suggestions. Mentor would suffice. What do you think about those suggestions?
They had a lot of grievances there for sure. Seemed like someone that wasn't happy with the process previously. I would say that the one thing they did mention, mentorship, that is very important. And that's one of the things that we mentioned, especially regarding the junior officials program. That might be the most important part of that program is assigning a mentor, a competent mentor, someone that wants to be a mentor with the 16 or 17-year-old. There's so many questions that come up early in your career that you need someone that you're able to go to. I mean, that really is the most important. Some of those other items really aren't controlled by us as an association. Many of those are the relationship they develop with their chapter, with their assigner, or with the school that's hiring them. So don't know if I can really provide answers to many of those.
Are there occasions where there are two new officials officiating?
Well, I think at the junior high level, that could happen. It could happen. Many of our more seasoned officials have a job that doesn't allow them to get out before 4 o'clock. So some of the junior officials may be. Now, we don't think that's a good idea. They should be working with their mentor. But if that's the case, then the schools need to bring that to the assigner's attention that two new officials on a contest, whatever the level may be, is probably not in the best interest of anyone associated with that.
We have an email from another former official, and I have to say that this one also seems to take issue with some things. The biggest cross to bear was dealing with the PIAA. Their lack of transparency, how ranking systems work, was confounding. For example, in varsity wrestling, I'd be penalized more for coaches who did not rate me than ones who rated me the worst. Then there was no personalized training to make officials better where they lacked. Additionally, time became more precious as we welcomed kids to our family, so trying to reschedule baseball rainouts proved complex, and justifying my absence for a full weekend of wrestling tournaments wasn't worth it. Mm-hmm. Your response to that?
Well, we don't rank officials in our office. He may be talking about his conference, his league, his chapter. We don't do any ranking. We actually take the ranking of the different districts. I'll use basketball since we're in the middle of that. When I go to assign officials for an inter-district basketball contest, I'm using the ranking that's provided to me by the district. So I think if they have an issue with that ranking, it starts way before it gets to our office.
Mm-hmm. As far as quality of officials, you know, let's face it, since the beginning of time, since there have been sporting events, umpires, referees, officials have always been heckled by fans, hassled by fans. It's funny how so many people in the stands know more than the officials are on the field.
Yep.
But does the quality of officiating suffer when you have a shortage?
I think it can, because I think you're going to put a less experienced official on a higher level game before they're ready for that. Whereas if you have enough officials to cover every game and you have plenty, you wouldn't do that. You would allow them training before they would ever be assigned that. So I think that's the one issue that having less officials could impact the assignment process.
So for someone listening today who may have piqued their interest and they want to become an official, how do they do that?
Just go to our website, piaa.org. You'll see the patch right there, PIAA patch. Just click on the patch, and it'll walk you right through the process. But trust me, if you have any questions, the transparency question that was brought up earlier, just call us, and we'll be happy to help you with any question you might have.
About 30 seconds or less. You kind of touched on this earlier, but what sports in particular are most dire?
Most dire right now, I would say field hockey, lacrosse, and probably volleyball, I would say right now.
All right.
Thank you, Scott.
Patrick Gephardt, Assistant Executive Director of the PIAA. Thank you very much for being with us today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.